Good morning. Today the reading is Timothy 2 verses 1 through 7. First of all then, I urge that supplication, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all who are in high positions, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and dignity. This is right and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, there is also one mediator between God and humankind, Christ Jesus, himself human, who gave himself for a ransom for all. This was attested at the right time. For this I was appointed a herald, an apostle. I'm telling the truth, I am not lying. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. Bless the reading.
Let us pray. Holy God, we ask that you send your light that will illumine not only the reading of these words, but the hearing of these words. And so as we have opened the scriptures, may you open our ears, our hearts, and our souls to hear just what you want us to hear today. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Well, greetings again to you in the name of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus on behalf of Pittsburgh Presbytery and the Crestfield staff and ministry team. It's good to be back with you again. How wonderful it is. So how are you doing? It's been a busy time for you, I think, right? The start of a new program year. I saw in the bulletin that you have David Lavender now as your session liaison to work with you during this interim time, including searching for an interim pastor. You have different pastors coming to fill the pulpit each week. You got new hymnals. How wonderful about that? I think you had a homecoming service last weekend. You're preparing for the pig roast in 2 weeks. Oh my goodness, you've been busy. Busy times for all. So sometimes it's just nice to sit and be with God for a while. I call it resting in God. I'm glad you came today and that we can rest in God together. I saw an old-time show this week as I sat on my couch and was just being with my husband Dave. It was The Wonderful World of Walt Disney. Do you remember that show? That hour-long show? I think it used to be on Sundays at 7 p.m. And it was a signal to me as a young girl, very young girl, to just settle down and be after a busy weekend and to get ready for the start of a new school week. Sometimes the shows were stories. They were either cartoons or real people, and sometimes they were documentaries. Whatever they were, they always started with the Disney castle at night with the fireworks. Remember that? Yes. As Dave and I sat and watched this particular show, it was about introducing what were new rides at Disneyland in California. And the main new attraction was, It's a Small World After All, huh? You know, It's a Small World After All. That was the new ride. They showed the ribbon cutting ceremony for this new attraction, and there were these cute little adorable little boys and girls from all around the world. They were dressed in costumes that symbolized their country. You know, some with little wooden shoes and some little girls like they were the French dancers and everything. Yeah, it was really cute. And there were so many. And it was like everyone was there. What I found amazing was that the Walt Disney Company had containers, like pitcher-sized containers of water, shipped to California from all over the world, from all four oceans, from the many seas, from the many rivers, and each one of the kids poured the water, including Walt Disney, into the, you know, like the little river that the boat ride goes on when you do the ride. And the attraction, oh, the attraction was all these animated children models from everywhere. France and Scotland and Africa and Brazil and Thailand and Alaska. Everywhere and everyone. And everyone was singing. It's a small world after all. Everyone. Even me and Dave as we sat there and watched this 40-year-old Walt Disney World program. Everyone. And now, here we are reading and studying an excerpt from one of Paul's pastoral letters to his new charge, Timothy, as Timothy begins his ministry. And Paul is telling Timothy several times in a few short verses to pray for everyone. Notice he even starts with the inclusive words, first of all. First of all, Paul is being serious about this everyone thing. Paul wants Timothy to pray for everyone. It's like a small world, after all over again, with the children from different countries. Everyone. But Paul gets more specific than just geographic location when describing everyone. Paul advises Timothy to pray for everyone, including kings and all who are in high positions. Essentially, Paul is saying, stretch out of your comfort zone and pray for those you don't know personally, and even those that are causing trouble in your life. Because remember, during that time, the kings and the people in high positions, they were persecuting the Christians. Christianity was young. It wasn't an established thing yet. And so there were persecutions. So to pray for someone who was persecuting you? Everyone and all, Paul says. And then Paul goes on even more beyond just offering up a simple everyone prayer. Paul again strongly recommends that Timothy offer prayers of supplication or pleading, intercessions or call for intervention, and thanksgiving and gratitude, again, for everyone. And this is not just a naming prayer, like praying for Governor Wolf as an example, but this is praying by putting a face on Governor Wolf and trying to understand his problems and challenges, and then after naming them, asking for specific ways to help, and then giving thanks for Governor Wolf. This is prayer that is personable and meaningful and for everyone. Are you kidding me? I have enough problems of my own, Paul, Timothy is probably thinking. I'm trying to be a pastor in a time when it's not even safe to be a Christian, let alone a Christian leader, trying to reach out to others to come and follow Jesus. And you are telling me to pray for everyone and to pray for everyone in deep and meaningful ways? Again, I say, are you kidding me? Next thing you know is that Paul will be asking me, Timothy is probably thinking, to love everyone too. Oh my goodness. I've been studying a lot about prayer this year. In February, I took a course on prayer as I work on my D-Min at Columbia Theological Seminary. 2 weeks of meeting every morning and talking with the professor and 10 other classmates about prayer. reading 5 books on prayer. I led a portion of last year's women's retreat at Crestville on prayer, and I even wrote an 18-page paper on prayer. This past week, I went to hear one of the authors whose book I read for class talking about prayer. She was a 75-year-old woman, a distinguished retired professor from Emory University in Atlanta. And after reading us poems about her beloved dog, Curly, at the opening of every session, we conversed about prayer. Sure, she says, Paul has lots of instructions on prayer. Prayer without ceasing, a pattern of prayer found in Colossians. And in 1 Timothy, Paul writes this letter to Timothy and says more about prayer. She even speaks of the early Christian fathers and mothers who lived in about 200 to 400 AD, and they lived in the desert, and they valued prayer so much. Prayer, 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 prayer. Perhaps you've had lots of sermons on prayer and studied prayer in your church and on your own. What more can be said about prayer? And here is what struck me most and was reinforced over and over the week. Learning to love is, in fact, what the Christian life is about. Learning to love is what the Christian life is about. Learning to love God, learning to love ourselves, learning to love our neighbor, not just the neighbor we know, but the neighbor we don't know. Sounds like that everything again, huh? And here it comes. Wait for it. Prayer is a profoundly integral part of this need, this goal, this desire to love. Through our prayers, through sitting and being with God, resting in God, we learn to love God, we learn to love ourselves and our neighbors, everyone. Prayer and prayer for everyone is integral to our Christian life. Dr. Bondi, the professor and author I spent time with this week, then goes on to say, even though our goal is to learn to love everyone, we all mess up throughout our lives with this loving. We all mess up. But that's okay, she says. We need to give ourselves a break when we do mess up, because it takes a lifetime for a transformation to happen. So we need to keep on praying. She gives an example of this lifetime transformation from one of the Desert Fathers. Let me repeat it to you. There are 2 monks. One is a brother, one is the father. And the brother comes to the father and says, I've been in this desert for 8 years. I have prayed morning, noon, and night. I have fasted. I have asked for forgiveness. I have given thanks. I have prayed. But I'm still angry. I think I better leave. I better go home. It's not working. And the father said, I'm 86 years old. I've been here for over 50 years. I'm not changed, but I'm praying too. We have to keep praying. Transformation takes a lifetime. Keep on praying, and through that prayer, there will be a transformation. Maybe not for everyone, but for you, the prayer. Keep on praying. Now, let's go back to our text for a moment. We see that Paul also makes this all-encompassing prayer for everyone. He gives these instructions to do that, but then he narrows it down to one thing. Listen again to verses 5 and 6. For there is one God. There is also one mediator between God and humankind, Jesus Christ himself human, who gave himself a ransom for all. Did you hear that? First, he's talking about everyone, and then he brings it down to one. Our prayers are to be offered to one God and one God only, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Not the God of busyness, not the God of possessions, not the God of money. The one true God that we offer our prayers to is Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. One God of all. This God, this one God who came as Jesus, came to the earth as the Word incarnate and suffered and died for us so that our lives would be redeemed, our sins would no longer separate us from God. Just as we stood and said in the affirmation of faith, one Jesus who works as one mediator, whom we are tied to by the one Holy Spirit, so our prayers can be taken directly to our one Father in heaven. Everyone and one. All and one. Praying so that we can love. And no, I'm not kidding. It's for real. It's so simple. It's a gift from God, a life of love, because Jesus and Jesus only went to the cross and gives us grace. Hallelujah! Hallelujah, right? Hallelujah, amen. So, will these words, which I hope are God's words, will they change your actions this week? Oh, I pray it may be so. Dr. Bondi left me with one more image, an image I share with you, so as hopefully you work to pray for everyone this week. Remember at the beginning of our time together, we talked about resting in God. And that is what I would like for you to try this week, resting in God. Dr. Bondi describes it as kitchen table prayer. For me, it would be patio table prayer because I like to sit outside on our porch and be in creation that way. But you do it wherever it's best for you. And here is what it is. Get a cup of coffee or a cup of tea or whatever you like to sip on, and then sit at the table and sip on the drink and just be with God. Be with the one God, praying for everyone, praying for Governor Wolf, praying for President Obama, praying for Hillary Clinton, praying for Donald Trump, praying for so many people, everyone on your session, praying for Dave Lavender, praying for Brian Wallace, who will be here next week, praying for the person that God has called to be the interim here. Praying for everyone. Kitchen table prayer. Resting in God. And in this praying for everyone, may your heart be enlarged. May your love grow exponentially. And may, my friends, be it a small world after all. Okay, now wait one more minute. It's a small world after all. It's a small. That's enough of that, huh? So, I am not kidding. Pray for everyone this week. And in that praying for everyone, you will be transformed. I am sure of it. Alleluia and amen.